How y'all doing? Good morning. Good to be with y'all. There's more to that story. There always is. That's for another time. But yes, I did get to rescue him. I may have created the problem. It is good to be with all of you. If this is your first time with us at New Life, it is. We are so happy to have you here with us. For everyone, it is great to be together, and it does matter that you are here. At New Life, we seek to be a vibrant, reproducing church who lives out the greatest commandment and the Great Commission. And when we talk about that, we mean vibrant is Christ alive in us, reproducing is Christ alive in others. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And the greatest commission, or the Great Commission, the greatest commission, is to make disciples of Jesus, to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to teach them to obey all that he has commanded, and to believe every step of the way that he is with us always, even to the end of the age. And so this is what we're trying to be at New Life. This is what the series has been about, is focusing in, too, on the idea of vibrancy, of Christ alive in us, and what does it look like to use our entire life, our heart, soul, mind, and strength, the greatest commandment, to love the Lord our God. And so over the past month, we've been walking through this series all in, and what does it look like to check and reorient these aspects of our being around loving God above all else, heart, mind, soul, and strength. And today, we're going to be leaning into the last one, strength. And it's active. It's about the fruit of heart, mind, and soul is really this. It's all coming together. It's the oomph that we live into all of who Christ has made us to be and what we want to do or how we can love God. And so I'm going to pray before we go any further this morning, and just asking and inviting the Lord, not myself, but the Lord, to actually speak in our midst through this service and the rest that we have together. Lord, I ask that your spirit would be present in this place. Lord, we know that you are. We trust that you are. Lord, my prayer is not so much about that as it is that our hearts would be willing to listen, that our minds would be willing to engage and to obey, that our hearts would be yielding to you, Lord, as hearts of flesh moldable to you, Lord, and teach us what this strength is. Lord, teach us that we can be free in you, to love you with all of our being. Lord, I pray that you would remind us, inspire us, challenge us today, Lord, and that the fruit of this would be a beautiful example, a beautiful picture of people whose hearts are fully surrendered and on fire for you, Lord, and that those around us would be drawn to see what is different, and they would find you in the midst of that. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. We have been looking, the anchoring verse for this is where Jesus is asked by a teacher, of all the commandments, which is the most important? And this is in Mark chapter 12, and he says, the most important commandment is this, listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. And it's that last part, all your strength. And this is referring to, he's quoting out of Deuteronomy, the Shema. And you've heard, if you were with us over the last couple of weeks, the nuances of these words and the overlapping meaning and how powerful this picture can be. And it's no different with the word strength. The Hebrew word, if you go to the Shema in Deuteronomy, you'll find the word strength. But the word there is really interesting. It's meod. It's Hebrew, and it actually means very or much in Hebrew. It's used over 300 times in Scripture, and yet in the Shema, in Deuteronomy, that is like the only place it is used as strength and interpreted that way. Everywhere else, it means very or much. It's an adverb that intensifies the meaning of other words. Really, a better translation, if you were to take very much, it means muchness. Like to say, to love the Lord your God with all of your muchness. Meod is to love him with all of your muchness. That would be a better translation. And the interesting thing is, well, how did it actually become strength? Well, over time, the Hebrew had to be interpreted or was interpreted into other language by Jewish followers. And so those who were Greek communities, Greek-speaking, they interpreted the Hebrew scripture meod into power or strength. They used the word dunamis, which means power or strength, to interpret it. And that captures some of it, but it's even more than that. The interesting thing is that the Aramaic scholars interpreted this word to translate wealth. Because the Aramaic, they were trying to understand or nuance this word meod, and they said, well, it's kind of, money is a concrete thing that opens up all kinds of opportunities to love God by giving away your resources. So there's even more there. And just as you saw, if you were here last week, the Bible Project video, you can go on there and see a whole thing just about the Shema. And it gets into all these details and all these words. And there's a quote in there that I think really sums this up. Because when you look at all these different words, and then Jesus said mind and strength, he included both in this. The Bible Project says this: the word miyod doesn't limit the number of ways you can show love for God, just the opposite. The point is that everything in a person's life, every moment and every opportunity, every ability and capacity offers a chance to love and honor the one who made you. It's a call to love God with all of your muchness. That's what this is really about. It's the umph of using everything we have, wealth, time, energy, emotion, passion, decision, to love God. It's the culmination of everything we've been talking about for these last 3 weeks and putting it into action. Like exclamation point is what this is getting at. And when I think of all this, it reminds me of a value here at New Life Church, that generosity is our joy. The descriptor of that value says to encounter Jesus is to come alive with joy and gratitude. As people who are in awe of the generosity of God, we cannot help but give generously in turn. And having tasted the riches of his grace, it is our joy to share our time, our talents, and our treasure with others. You see, loving God with our muchness is an act of worship. It's living out the greatest commandment. It's loving God with all of our miyod, in the good and the bad, when things are going well and when they're not, on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, every day of the week. And when I say good and bad, it's like, yes, in that promotion, yes, in that award, or in that great day with the family, but it's also when the tire is flat on the side of the road, or when the check bounces, or when you were charged too much and you only found out after you've left vacation, and there's no way you're going back to that place. It's in all these spaces, in every opportunity, we can lean in with all that we are and respond in action with love. And this is why I even love the discipleship pathway that we've created here at New Life. I mentioned the app earlier. If you're on there, you can find it and begin to play and experiment with it, explore it, learn it. It's not about doing like A, B, C, D, or here's what we think discipleship is and here's how you should do it. It's literally a pathway. And the most important thing about it is it's your muchness, who you are, who God has made you to be, learning to love God, listen to God, and obey him in all of your life, and then beginning to do that with those around you, doing it with other people, so that you're encouraging and helping one another to live all in for Jesus and his kingdom. And just to highlight this, that this is not a very new concept of learning on the whole, I want to take us back to some of the first words that were spoken about Jesus when he was about to move into his ministry. So these are the words of John the Baptist. He came and he's teaching, and in Luke chapter 3, he says, prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. He actually says, who warned you? Like, who warned you to come out here and even go after this? Kind of pointing out, like, God's at work in your heart. And then he moves to say, prove by the way you live. Like, let your actions, your miyod, all of your life, your muchness be about God. Show through your living that you're loving God in all these ways. And so the crowd asked, what should we do? And John replied, if you have two shirts, give one to the poor. If you have food, share it with those who are hungry. Love that. He's saying, take what you have, your treasure, take your treasures, share those with those around you, show through action. And then even the corrupt tax collectors came to be baptized, and they said, teacher, what should we do? Because they're like, we're a tax collector, we're not liked, we're in a corrupt system, no one does it right. And so you would almost think that he would say, find a new profession where you can live and love God. No, he doesn't. He says, collect no more taxes than the government requires. He actually says you have talent. You're in a perfectly good field and career. Just live out that talent in a way that brings honor and glory to God. Don't follow the corruption. Do justice. Live justly in the midst of the space that you're in. And then the soldiers even asked, what should we do? He says, don't extort money or make false accusations and be content with your pay. Again, saying, your talent's fine. Just don't use it in a wrong way. Use it to honor and bring glory to God. That you can love him in your career, in your profession. And Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 through 7 is the Sermon on the Mount. When he started teaching, he went straight to the same thing. He's unpacking what does it look like to really live out the greatest commandment, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength in all of your muchness. That's really what he's unpacking. And he's teaching us in every opportunity, in every moment that we can do this. The problem with all of this and with us is that far too often, somewhere along the way in life, we've lost our oomph in loving God and find ourselves in the exact same place as Alice, as in Alice in Wonderland. If you've seen the movie, Tim Burton's movie adaptation of Alice in Wonderland, there's a scene with the Mad Hatter and Alice that captures this reality of so many who live in the churches in North America, where the Mad Hatter is carrying, Alice is really small at this point, and he's carrying her, and he's upset because she is basically saying she's not going to act justly or in a way that is the way she used to, and he sets her down on a rock and begins to walk away. And Alice calls out, and he turns around, and the Mad Hatter accusingly says, "You're not the same as you were before. You were much more muchy, much more muchier. You've lost your muchness." To this, Alice is standing there and says, "My muchness?" And he pokes her in the stomach with his finger, and he says, "In there, something's missing." And I think that picture just captures for many in the church, when you really stop and think about it, there's something missing. Something in our muchness of how we're living out. We come, we do certain things, we say we love God, we're practicing, it's private, it's with God. But like in all of our muchness, in all of your miod, in all of your life, are you really all in for Jesus? Will you give over every opportunity, every moment of your life to bring glory and honor to God? Will you cross the bridge of conversation when it is just uncomfortable and bring glory to Jesus? Will you point to the hope in your life that you have when others are wondering, but you keep it hidden? We've lost some of our muchness, and sometimes we need an Alice moment in our own life where someone can show that we're missing something, because often we're the ones who have lost it ourselves by listening to lies about ourselves. We have an enemy, Satan, who has wanted to downplay and distract you from your muchness in any way that he can. He wants to do this because what he despises most is you in your muchness making much of God. You in your muchness loving God completely. Because you loving God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, all your strength, your miod, is you living as you were created to live. You being as you were made to be. The muchness of the created making much of the creator. And the enemy knows the truth of your muchness. The question is, do you? Do you know your muchness? I want to remind you with two truths. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." Part of your muchness has to do with you were made in the image of God. That is amazing. It is so incredible. Infinite value and worth. And then out of Psalm 139, and this one I would say some of you probably should just go read the entire psalm today or this week. Live in this psalm. Because what David does in this psalm is he connects with who God is and who God made him to be, and he's just in awe of how much God loves him, how much he made him. And this is truth for all of us. And in Psalm 139, he says, "Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it." Do you know it? Can you get to that space where you say, "Yes, I'm wonderfully made in you and I know it"? He goes on, "How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered." And then he gets even so far to say, "I see you so clearly. I love you. I love you and what you've made in me. This is awesome. This relationship, this is great. And you know what? Anything that takes away, any enemy of you, I hate them. I hate them. I hate the enemies of God who stand in the way of me and you getting what you deserve, my muchness." That's where David gets. It's this crazy passage. And then he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting." And I think that's so powerful in our day and age where people are offended about so many things. We walk on eggshells worrying if we're going to offend someone. Oh, there's a good post. Oh, can't say that. I'll probably get hung. Like, do you know what I'm talking about? It's our culture. We're so worried about offending people. Are we as worried about offending God? Because I think part of an offense to God is to not stand in who you were made to be. To not believe that you are good and valuable in his eyes. To not hear him say all of Psalm 139 and go, thank you. I love you with all that you've made me to be. You've been uniquely designed, perfectly made, and fine-tuned to love God with all of your muchness. Your muchness matters to God, and he gave you your muchness. You're all, you're everything. And my question is, have you lost your muchness? Was there a time when you were much, much, muchier for Jesus? I believe your muchness is 100% linked to Jesus Christ. Apart from him, I believe you will be missing part of your muchness. Nick said last week that we need to recognize our whole being thirst, number one. And number two, you need to recognize that that can only be filled in Jesus. And I had my Alice moment with my wife roughly a year ago in a conversation. I can't even recall how we got upon the topic, but it played out almost identical where she said, you're not as passionate as you used to be when we first met. Passionate? And she says, yes, your passion for Jesus. You used to have more passion. That was crushing to hear, but 100% correct. Because everyone around me saw passion. They saw it, but she could see that something on the inside was missing. Maybe just a little, but it was off. And that can happen in life where the work, the load we carry, the life we're living, the circumstances we come into, we encounter, they can just ebb away to where your muchness gets diminished. You may hear lies that it's you don't have anything of worth, no muchness. So you begin reaching and grasping. So many people you see on this are striving for muchness when God's given it to you. Others, you feel like you've believed a lie where your muchness is no good for others, that you've created harm or you'll hurt. That's also not true. Your muchness matters, and God wants you to be free in it. And for me, my wife was 100% correct. To everyone else, I may have seemed passionate, but there was a little bit off. And over the last year, it's been a journey, a redemptive and restorative, healing, empowering, fueling journey of learning to love him with all of my meod, to be all in. And for me, that's looked like thanking Tammy for being bold and a truth teller. It's looked like spending time with Jesus and asking him to renew in me a spirit of fire for him. It's looked like going to see a professional counselor, which, oh my word, I don't know how I made it this long. Some of you may need to do that. They're professionals for a reason. It's looked like listening to the still small whispers of God and acting in faith on them. It's looked like hearing and receiving what the Lord says and sees about me more than I listen to the world. It's looked like stepping out in faith in who he's made me to be and being willing to risk for the kingdom in new ways. And it's looked like having fun and laughing again. We just went on a vacation with my brother. Second time we've gotten to do that in a row. He's got six in his family. We've got four. So 10 of us in a condo down at the beach in Alabama. My personal family said it's going to be follow the joy. That was kind of our theme, which played out on the way home. It takes 2 days to get home because we're driving. And the other family, they're like, yeah, we know how you travel. We're gone. I mean, they blitzed. They were like, we're almost home. We're in Indiana the first night. We're like, we didn't even get halfway through Alabama. We drove down the road, and it's like there's race cars. We're like, let's do it. So we're driving cars. We almost to the highway, peach stand. Let's get some peaches. Talked to the old man there. It was awesome. That led us to totally miss, you know, not follow the map, realize that the entire interstate's red. Got us in a traffic jam. Haven't been in one of those in like 20 years because of maps always direct me other places. Hour and a half, fun. Get to Birmingham and I'm like, sweet, Martin Luther King, letters from Birmingham jail. Let's go check it out. So we drove by the jail. We went to the church where there was a bomb and four lives lost. Like, it was an awesome experience. We didn't get out of Alabama the first day. I'm like, we still have a whole day to get home. We finally made it to Kentucky the next day, and we see a little sign that says Abraham Lincoln's birthplace. We're like, you want to go? Tammy's like, I don't know. You want to go? From the back seat, my daughter, do it. Let's.
So across four lanes, we're off. Rush to the, you know, and I'm like cut in front of a truck. I get to the end of the ramp. I'm like, where is it? So I Google it. It's 15 miles. I'm like, we're in at this point. So we go. It was awesome. You show up and I'm like, this is where he lived? It looked just like the Lincoln Memorial in D.C. Huge building pillars. I'm like, this is amazing. Steps all going up. No, that was just a sanctuary built over the log cabin on the inside where he lived. But tons of fun. We laughed. We learned. It was amazing. It was great. And all of this was about leaning into who God has made me to be, growing in that, and then saying, I want my life to be leveraged for you, all of who I am, all my muchness. And there's a story that I heard recently. One of the books I read on vacation was Have More Fun. That's the title of it, by Mandy Arioto, who leads the MOPS, Mothers of Preschoolers Movement. And she spoke at a conference I was at down in Texas in April, and she told this story that was so powerful and I think captures the heart of this. And what my prayer is for all of us. And she shared how when she was 8 years old, they decided to get some horses, and they drove. I don't know where they came from, but they went to Pennsylvania, because I guess that's where you go to get horses. And she shows up on this immaculate farm. It was amazing, all well taken care of, and they pull in the drive, and like an 80-year-old man comes out, and he's like, are you here for the horses? And they go, yeah. So he takes them in the barn, and they see the stable, and there's two horses, and they're like, wow, these are beautiful. And she's just marveling. And then the dad's smart, and he says, I want to see him run. See him run. The guy's like, oh, no problem. So he opens the gate, grabs their, you know, their reins and halters, and walks them to the edge. And when they get to the edge of the barn, the one horse moves the gate open, and the gate swings so hard it almost knocks Mandy down. And the horses just take off into the field. And they're running and galloping and prancing and dancing. Just, I mean, they're just living in their muchness. They're horses, and they're just living it up. And the dad instantly in the moment says, those are our horses. We'll take them. And he goes, here's the thing. We don't have a barn yet. We need to go back and build this. He goes, it'll take at least a couple weeks. Do you care? And the guy's like, no problem. We'll watch him for you. So Mandy says they go back home, and what was supposed to take 2 weeks takes 3 months. And they finally come back. And when they come back on to this long road, it's all overgrown, unkept. It's crazy. The dad's like, are we even in the right place? She's like, no, this is the house. They pull up, and the wife walks out. And he's like, and she ends up telling him, she goes, yeah, a few days after you were here, he had an accident, and he hasn't been able to take care of the horses or the farm. And he goes, so we've only done the minimum feeding just to keep them alive, but they're there for you. And at that, the dad just freaked. Panic went over his face. He rushed to the barn, and he finds that when they enter the barn, the smell of manure and urine is just overwhelming. And as they move closer to the horses, they find that there's just manure piled up in their pen. And for the next half hour, they take shovels and they dig enough just to open the gate. And then the dad says, hey, Mandy, do you remember last time the gate flung open? You need to stand maybe on the hay bales over there so you don't get run over. And they open the gate, and the horses didn't move. And it says Mandy her dad just began to weep and to cry, because she said in that moment they realized these horses forgot who they were made to be and who they were meant to be. And the door was open. And what I want you to hear next is what the Father says if you find yourself in a similar place like that, where you feel like you're just not living the way God meant you to be. You don't even know how to take a step in the right direction. Listen to what the Father says, because this is the gospel. This is what the Father in heaven says to us. He says, we've got this. He said to his daughter, we've got this. That's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in heaven looking down to humanity, standing in their own crap, broken, not knowing who they are, and they say, we got this, and Christ comes down. The Father, he went and get sleeping bags. They slept in the hayloft for the next 3 days. They cleaned this place out. They washed and bathed the horses, walked them a little further every day in the barn until the third day, the horse broke through the barn door, went into the field, ears perked up, and it just took off. Both horses were free, galloping, running again. And the beauty of that is that when you realize the muchness that you were created in and you begin to live in that and experience that with Christ, you will never want to go back and stand in your own crap. That's what Christ offers us, in the muchness that he made you, to be free in him and to know that the Father isn't telling you to do it. The Father says, we've got this. He wants to do it with you. It's the Father's heart. I want to anchor this in one verse for you to think about. Galatians 2, 19 through 20 says, "For when I tried," this is Paul, he says, "for when I tried to keep the law, it condemned me. So I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all its requirements so that I might live for God." And some of you have been trying your whole life. And God is telling you here in this moment, right now, quit trying and just live with me. We'll do this together. You can be free in Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's about trusting God. This whole thing about the greatest commandment, to lean in and love him with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength, your miyod, your muchness. It's about a life of complete trust and surrender. And Jesus gave his muchness on the cross in exchange for yours. And your muchness matters, church. Your muchness is a delight to God. Your unique, individual, created mind, soul, body, spirit, all your talents, your treasure, who you are, your time matters. It's a delight to God. He paid for it in full, and his muchness made the way for you to be free in your muchness. His muchness made the way for you to be free in your muchness. And church, the world does not need to be seeing more people who are making much of themselves. The world is filled with people making much of themselves. What the world needs are people who let their muchness make much of Jesus. Because the world needs Jesus. Your muchness is a gift from God. And when you live all in, your muchness becomes a gift back to God. Everything you have, your muchness, your miyod, all that you are, is a gift from God. And when you live all in for him and with him, your life is a complete gift back to God. Your muchness matters. We're going to move into a set of worship. We're going to have prayer ministers up here. And I would just ask that in this time, if the Lord has been moving in your heart in any way through this series or even today, would you listen? Would you lean in? Would you accept the Father's invitation to do this with him? To help you step out and become all that God wants you to be in him as you were made. I'm going to pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the Shema, Lord. I thank you that you gave us a simple command and that you said yourself, Jesus, that the totality of the scriptures is summarized in this. And that Paul saw that we don't need to keep trying to live it out, that we just need to live in you. Jesus, would you meet us in this space? Would we turn over our whole life, our muchness to you and be all in? And Lord, I ask that we would have a renewed heart, a renewed mind, a renewed soul, and a renewed strength as we walk in step with you. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.